"Choose this day whom you will serve," said Joshua at the conclusion of this book, this Old Testament book that bears his name. "He would continue, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's one of the greatest single quotable declarations in all of Scripture. That declaration on that day didn't come easily for Joshua. It came as a result of embracing change. Sometimes we can quote these verses but not realize just what was, how they came to pass. Today, I'm not asking you to make a declaration. Today, I am asking you to embrace the change that leads to making this declaration, not only for your lives, but for the lives of those around you. Today is a significant day in your life and maybe also in your mind. Today we make a transition from last week to this week, to the week that to come. And every week brings change, doesn't it? Some of that change we can anticipate and prepare for, which doesn't mean that we like it, but we can kind of see it. Other times change comes unexpectedly and it takes time to adjust to that. Rarely do we want to embrace change. We don't often welcome change or desire its company, and yet change is always with us. Shouldn't we learn to embrace it despite our misgivings, despite our unpreparedness, our reluctance, or our fear? Today is a significant day. For some, it marks the end of our summer vacation time and the beginning of school. This involves changes in daily routines. It involves changes in family time, family rhythms. And for those of us sending students off to school in other cities or off to school for the first time, it's a time of change. Today, there's a change that aging brings to our sense of self-worth. For others, health concerns bring change that we don't necessarily want to embrace. There are some who are dealing with change because of employment status or uncertainty or dissatisfaction. There are changes for those who are newcomers to our city, whether they come as students or whether they come for work. They have to navigate change. Faced with change, the transition from what we have known to what is yet unknown, we can feel often helpless, uncertain, afraid, and alone. We often experience one or more of these expressions because we resist the letting go that's necessary to engage that next thing. We have adopted an upward and onward philosophy of life that neglects the importance of navigating the necessary characteristics that change requires. Today, I want to encourage you to embrace change. Author William Bridges, in his book, Transitions, Making Sense of Life's Changes, writes these words: "The natural development pattern is not for people to keep the same dreams, but to relinquish old dreams and generate new ones throughout their lifetimes. Most people also create new situations in the present, new hopes for the future, new ways to realize those hopes. The image for such a life is not an upward trending diagonal of increasing achievement, but a spiraling link of cycles, the completion of each leading to a new cycle of experience and activity based on a new dream." So what happens from today is really important. My hope and my prayer is that whatever change that you're facing, you will look for the glimmer of radiant hope to rise, just as it did for a man named Joshua and the large company of people that were with him, the Israelites. You know, Moses was an ordinary man. Moses was Joshua's mentor, his predecessor, his leader. Moses experienced his own struggles, his own victories, his own disappointments, and his own achievements. However, because of the grace of God, in humility, Moses became one who would lead others to places that they could never go on their own. He provided for others a better future than he had ever experienced. He was a patriarch, a father figure to a whole nation. His guidance was instrumental and vital to the many he had known. And yet he was taken up by God while he was still full of strength. From an earthly, human, logical perspective, there was no reason for him to enter into his heavenly rest. Now, the Israelites knew that at some point, his time would have to come. They just didn't necessarily know when. And so that time, when at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses goes up to the mountain to peer out towards a horizon, they had little reason to expect that he wouldn't return. I think like the Israelites, it's important to recognize that in the face of change, even change that promises good, things can happen and cause us to be apprehensive, helpless, uncertain, and fearful. And that's not unusual. So here they were, ready to go into the promised land, but now Moses isn't with them. This was a change that they had longed for, that they had twisted together, that they had, and you know, some points in time they loathed, and because embracing change is hard, which makes what Joshua and the Israelites learned in chapter 1 so important for them and so important for those of us who right now are experiencing times of transition. So let's read this together in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, 13. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We'll stop there for now, and we'll come back to it in a little bit. Five times in these first verses, God speaks this reminder to Joshua. As Joshua takes the helm and serves in leadership on behalf of the people, and whether he does so reluctantly or excitedly, he does so with mixed feelings, no matter what. Four times God says these words, be strong and courageous, in a positive fashion, once in a negative form. All the while, be strong and courageous. Let's look at them one at a time. If we're going to embrace change, then we need to do this. We need to first be strong. Can you say that with me? Be strong. Strength isn't a physical ability that he's talking about here. He is talking about a character quality, a strength of character that is developed through the capacity to endure many repetitions of joy and sorrow, laughter and tears, compassion and hurt. Therefore, to be resolved in our spirit, to be focused in good habits, to be determined to fulfill those hopes and God-shaped dreams instilled within you requires strength. And as you do, you'll realize that your strength, my strength, is never enough. It can never, ever be enough. But being strong in the Lord is different, because it cannot be contained, it cannot be measured or calculated. In your weakness, in our helplessness, and in our uncertainty, the promise of God is that he can make us strong. So be strong. Secondly, be courageous. Can you say that with me? Be courageous. Be courageous. That is a mental and moral strength to resist opposition, danger, or hardship. It implies a firmness of mind and will in the face of difficulty. Courage requires perseverance, a willingness to take the next step, an understanding that there will be moments and days of hardship to come, and yet a commitment to keep moving forward, even if it's just a little step with God for His purposes. Courage requires this mental and moral strength. But it isn't something you can necessarily muster in your own strength. In fact, one of the means by which we grow in courage is when we are encouraged by others, right? We grow encouraged by being encouraged. When we speak words of affirmation, gratitude, and kindness to others, we plant seeds of godly resolve in their lives. Now think about it, if we remain silent in the face of others, we give up that opportunity to plant within them this hope for God to blossom and flourish later on. Too often we are quick to critique and criticize and speak only when we disapprove, but we can do better. We must do better. Within our families, we can do better. Between generations, as a church family, we must do better. Between one another, as you come and go, in your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your schools, we can do better. Thirdly, be assured. You want to say that with me? Be assured. You know, this comes in two parts, right? God has this reminder, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And the second part comes with God is with you. He says, I will be with you. I will go before you. I will never leave you. Don't be afraid. You know what that means? That means there are going to be times that are going to make you afraid. You're going to feel afraid because you're confronted with circumstances that you maybe don't understand or maybe seem overwhelming for you. He says, don't be afraid, because He knows that's going to be your response. It's okay to feel a little afraid sometimes. But in that, in not being certain of what comes next, and if not being, you know, in their situation, they didn't have the leader that they thought they had being present anymore. They said, don't give in to that fear. Don't allow that fear to dictate your steps, right? Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. But through perfect love from God and through one another, drive out that fear. Take hold of the future that you have been striving to attain and that you have been positioned to attain. That was God's message to the Israelites. And His promise is, I will be with you. Often when that fear wells up within us in the circumstances, we think, well, where is God in that? Be assured that God is with you. Be strong and courageous. Be assured. We gain strength and courage in the capacity and in the faith in our capacity to face fears through the recognition that God is with us and that He will prepare the way for us and that He will go with us and He will never leave us. Jesus echoes, expands, and exemplifies these words when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The invitation is simple. Follow the way of Moses. Follow the way of Joshua. Follow the way of Jesus. Be strong. Be courageous. And be assured. And fourthly, be godly. You want to say that with me? Be godly. Be godly. Live your lives according to God's truth. You have to lean into this. This takes work. Do you see how much emphasis that Joshua, that God speaks to Joshua on this? Read it. Learn it. Think about it. Be shaped by it. Even in and particularly in when faced with difficult or fearful circumstances. Moses would repeatedly say that these words of the Lord, they are life. They are not a way of life or a part of life. They are life. And you could read one of my favorite passages in all the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where Moses just lays it all out. And he says, now choose life. And by choosing life, you choose the path of promise and blessing, even in the face of those things that might be fearful. Through Moses, God would implore us to make the truth come alive when we rise and when we rest and as we move throughout the day. In Joshua, he commands us to think deeply about this, about God's truth day and night. Jesus, whom the Gospel of John describes as the very Word of God, lives out the truth of God for us and therefore invites us to examine his life closely and to listen to his invitation to follow him through our days and allow his Spirit to transform us until the time in which we join him in the heavenlies. To be godly is to be directed and shaped and motivated and moved by the truth of God. We need to read it. We need to talk about it. We need to think about it, and we need to act on it. All four of those things. Be strong, be courageous, be assured, be godly. All right, say that with me. Ready? Be strong, be courageous, be assured, be godly. You know, most of you listening right now are listening through your own circumstance, and that's good. About whatever specific change scenario is coming up for you. However, I want to remind you that Joshua is also dealing with a transition for a whole group of people. So how does he get this to stick for them? He uses these four things: be strong, be courageous, be assured, be godly, because that is the means by which God communicated that to him. But then he does something different in these last few verses of the chapter. He implements this, if you will, this leadership principle, which I really love. Something that I think he learned from Moses, something that we see go on as we move through Scripture. It really boils down to now these three words: relay, remind, and release. And I'll invite you to read through the rest of the chapter in this, but I want you to see this. In verses 10 and 11, Joshua gives orders to the people. He says, go throughout your people and tell them these things that I am telling you, right? He's passing it on to those who will pass it on. That's kind of what we were doing a couple of weeks ago at our Upward mini camp, our Adventure mini camp. It was a really cool thing that you should be excited about what's happening here at the SCMC. As directors, Teresa and I and Michaela, we downloaded what our goals were for the day into our youth leaders, our junior high and senior high students, and then they had responsibility over groups of four, five, or six younger age students. And so they had to relay information. It's discipleship in action. It was pretty exciting for me. It's probably my highlight is working with those students and seeing that taking place. And so Joshua gives this command to go and get provisions ready, because 3 days from now, we're going to go and embrace the change that God has in store for us. And then he reminds them, he reaches back to the time of Moses, and he models this at the time that Moses modeled this for them, and now Joshua models it for them as well. He reaches back for them to reflect on the faithfulness of God to them in the past, so that they can better understand why they ought to pursue the promises of God for the future. And let me encourage you to do that. And as you go through verses 12 to 15, you see how he reflects back on that to remember the promises that were given to Moses. Reminding is an important form of communication. We see that with the best of the best. And as you may have gathered, I'm a little bit of a sports nut. I watch all kinds of sports. I love to see how people perform under pressure. And you know, one of the cool things about sports, and whether you probably do this, for those of you who are interested in the arts and music, you see this as well. Every athlete or every artist has particular weaknesses that they are aware of, or they have a particular strategy in mind. And often before a big moment, they will rehearse that in their mind. Sometimes actually physically, you'll see them go through some motions that. Not every athlete's doing the same thing in those crisis moments, but they are aware of what they need to focus on. They are reminding themselves, or they have a coach reminding them, hey, this is what you need to be aware of for this particular circumstance. It's a really neat thing to watch. If you don't actually like sports, watch that. Watch how people rise to the occasion, or watch how sometimes people struggle and then learn from that and come back again. And then Joshua says, and then the other part is he releases, right? He relays information, he reminds them, but he releases. He doesn't try to control that. He's got to release them to make their choices from that. And their reply at the end of this chapter is really good. Whatever you have commanded us, they say, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Now, you know, as you read through the rest of the book and the rest of the unfolding of the Old Testament, they kind of forgot that piece. But then they said, right, and you read through that, and then they end by saying, only, Joshua, they say, go back to you, only you be strong and courageous. They have heard it, they understood it, but will they do it? In relaying and reminding, Joshua is doing his part as a leader. He then releases them to respond, and the obedience of the people now, it's in their hands. Understanding the consequences of both of their actions for the good and the blessings of their choices for the better. We cannot force change upon people. We can't tell people how to embrace their change. But we can provide a godly foundation upon which they will be more ready to embrace the change that they face. Embracing change isn't easy. And it's important for us to recognize that the change that we are facing, that they were facing, was significant. And the change that you are facing, the change that I face, it's always difficult. Sometimes we feel like things have never been done. But with strength, with courage, with assurance, with godliness, they found that by embracing change, they were embraced by the God who was going before them, who would go with them, and who would surround them. Relay, remind, release. Joshua would use this with them in just before they would cross over the Jordan. He would do this at the end of the book as well. Embracing change. By embracing change, we allow ourselves to be embraced by the God who goes with us. As I mentioned earlier, today marks my 17th year, the beginning of my 17th year serving the Lord and this church family as lead pastor. Embracing change has been a constant part of these previous 16 years or 20 years or 21 years or whatever it has been. You know, it's easy to keep things the same, to avoid difficult conversations or to stay safe and do happy church things, to make church people happy. But God has a different plan for us, one that reflects His kingdom agenda, to see men and women and boys and girls come to know Jesus. And to do so, we have to be able to meet people out in the places that they are in. That's why we serve our community. That's why we've adopted the serve, pray, respond in the grace of God. And as we do that, it requires, we come up against constant change. Because I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know about your neighbors and your workplaces and your schools, but there's a lot of mess out there, not even putting my own mess into it. Right? Can we agree with that? There's a lot of people that need the light of Jesus to be shone into those spaces. And so our first objective is to send you out to bear the light of Jesus into those spaces. Because Psalm 139 reminds us, even the darkness is not darkness to Him, and in that He is with us. Because He's made you. He's made you for a purpose. He wants you to be strong and courageous, to be assured, and to be godly. And He will go with you into that fight. We are here because we're willing to embrace change and find that God was embracing us all along the way. And we all have stories, many of us, of how that has happened, of changes and transitions we have faced, some expectedly, some unexpectedly. But we face them with the grace of God, and we walk forward together with strength and courage. Today, most of us are facing a transition of one kind or another. Today is an important day. It's a day you get to begin to solidify the foundation of your life so that in time to come, you can look back at the challenges and changes that God has brought you through and say with confidence, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. So Father, as we come this morning, you hear our thoughts. You understand the transitions, the changes that we are up against. You actually understand our fear of facing those things much more than we do. And sometimes, God, we can't see the way out. It feels as though the darkness presses in on that. Thank you for this reminder that you don't leave us, that you hold us close. That you go with us. Father, thank you for the promise of blessing that comes from being embraced by you. So may today, in the face of our fear, in the face of our transition, in the face of change, Father, would we recognize your presence in a new way? Would you help us in our weakness to be strong? Would you help us in our uncertainty to be courageous and to take just even that one more little step? Father, would you help us when we are feeling helpless to be assured because you are speaking words of affirmation into our lives? And may we be diligent in doing that to others, not knowing what their change is, but knowing that we all face change. And God, would you give us resolve to build our lives upon your truth and empowered by your Spirit to make a difference in the name of Jesus. Today, we are going to make a choice. Hear our prayer, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.